You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
You know, the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ was for all the world. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." But the second coming of Christ is for the church. It's for the body of Christ. It's for you and for me. Amen? And even as I was praying and preparing in this week, God was just saying to me, tell my people I love them. Tell my people I love them. Amen? You know that God loves you. God loves you dearly. God loves you so much that He's interested in what's happening in your life and what you are going through. That God wants to show you the way out. That God wants to show you what to do to move from where you are to where God wants you to be. You know, often we wait for God to do something. But most of the time, God is waiting for us to move. Because faith without works is dead. I thank God for a dad. My dad's not alive anymore. He went to be with the Lord 2 years ago. But my dad used to preach to me a lot. And I didn't like it a lot when I was younger. Any of you had that experience? Dads that preach. You know, be careful if you, as a dad, you preach to your children. You just wind up in a position where your son starts preaching to you. And I had the privilege to preach to my dad for years when he was a member in the church. But my dad always used to say to me more than often, don't wait for things to happen, make it happen. And I used to say, I know, don't say it to me, you know. But he would say, don't wait for things to happen, make it happen. And I thank God for that because that's something that still resonates with me oftentimes when I think, what should I do? It's not to wait for it to come to me, but to go out and to make it happen. Turn to the person next to you, say, make it happen. And sometimes afterwards, we realize our dads are more like God than what we realize. They give us more instruction in righteousness than what we realize. Amen. We often just listen to them as dads. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? Listen what the Bible says in Genesis 1 verse 28. I'm going to read from the Amplified. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. God said, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, using all its vast resources in the service of God and man. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. God spoke to mankind and He said, be. Go out and be fruitful. Go out and multiply. This is the year of grace upon grace. A year to be fruitful, a year to multiply. Can I just say this? When God said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, was before sin. Before man had sinned. Many times we look at the Garden of Eden and we think it was one big vacation, one big holiday, where Adam and Eve did nothing. Turn to the person as you say, you're so wrong. Before sin, it was not a holiday. To work is a gift. It's a gift. Ecclesiastes says that your job is a gift from God. And that you should enjoy it. Amen? They were told to look after the garden. They were told to attend the garden. To keep the garden. The question we have to ask you, what are you doing in the service of God and of man? In Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. To have a job is one thing. To keep a job is something completely different. To receive something is one thing. To maintain it is something completely different. What am I talking about? Everybody says, I want a car. I want a big car. I want a whatever. Say a Mercedes. To have a Mercedes is one thing. To maintain a Mercedes is a completely different thing. Work it and keep it. Turn to the person next to you and say, work it and keep it. Can I say this? Part of Adam's success was the fact that God placed him in Eden. placed him in a specific place and said, I want you to focus here and attend this garden. In our world right now, we think the more things we can do, the more blessed we will be. And you become a jack of all trades and a master of none. God told them to attend one garden. And I was thinking about one, the importance of one. There's one God, one baptism, one faith, one body. God placed them in this one garden and said, attend it. You know, the Bible says from the beginning, the way was one wife, one woman with one man. That's the challenge. When you can be faithful to one woman, 20 years, 30 years, then somebody will say you're faithful. When you come and you say, I've had 300 girlfriends over the past 10 years, they don't rate you as faithful. One. So if we want to step into the fullness of what God has got for us, we have to be focused. We are here today, we are saved today because Jesus never lost focus. Remained focused upon his assignment, what he was supposed to do here on earth. Turn to the person next to you and say, be who God said you should be. You know what happened? Adam and Eve were made in God's image and likeness. And the devil made them believe that there was something more, they could be more than what God said they could be. And that derailed them. Sometimes you're looking out for something out there that's not out there. And it derails you. Genesis 1 verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Can I just say, both male and female were made in God's image, and both of them received the instruction to multiply, to increase, to be fruitful. Is it the men grumbling or the women grumbling? Men and women are both made to multiply and to be fruitful. Both were told to have dominion, to rule in this world. So we have to sometimes just go out and be who God has called us to be. Be who God said you should be. Let me just say, dominion and to rule is not what we think, like to dominate. It's like a relationship between a husband and a wife. The fact that I'm the head does not mean I rule over her and I dominate her. I go look at the Christ example between Christ and the church, where Christ is leading us, showing us the more excellent way. When we talk about dominion and to rule, another way to phrase it is to exercise skilled mastery. In other words, to use what God has given you, that wisdom, and to be a better person. When we sometimes look at where God has placed us, let me just backtrack a little bit. God first made the animals. He first made the animals, placed them on this earth, he blessed them. And then man was made. So when man stepped into the garden, there were blessed animals already. He had to integrate in between them. Use wisdom, use understanding. Use what God had placed on the inside of him. God has placed so much on the inside of you that you're not even aware of. When God told Noah to build the boat, he just said, this high, this wide, this long. The rest Noah figured out himself. Some of us are waiting for a manual the whole time. to know what to do, whereas God has placed so much on the inside. One of the first things God told Adam, give the animals names. Did he drop 20 different encyclopedias there in the Garden of Eden? Did he whisper in his ears? No. God wanted Adam to look at those animals, to feel what he was seeing, to use his imagination. Turn to the person next to you and say, use your imagination. You know, when people have imagination, when your kids have imaginations, don't block it. It's from God. Obviously, if they're imagining demons and things like that, let them come to the prayer line. Let's pray for them. I'm not talking about that. Amen. He wanted Adam to put his hands in the dirt and feel those earthworms before he gave them names. He wanted him to look up into the sky, see the birds. In the ocean, in the rivers, to experience that. Why am I saying this? Because we live in a world where we're not connected to where God has placed us anymore. And we want to hop from one place to another the whole time. But when you are at one place, Eden was there for a purpose. Eden was there for a purpose. The first thing is, it created security. When you're in a home, when you're in a house, there's security.
The grace to do what they have to do.
But as your natural home gives security, helps you in your identity, and to rule and to find your place in life, in the same way, a spiritual home does that. You know what's the first gift that God gave Adam? Was the gift of place. Eden. The gift of place. And we should appreciate where God has placed us. Turn to the person that you say, appreciate where God has placed you. Because sometimes we are so quick to disconnect from that, but it's there where God is using us to take us from where we are to where God wants us to be. A matter of fact, people that are faithful and committed in the place where God has placed them will experience blessings that those that are uncommitted will never experience. Psalm 92 says, those that are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish. Even when they're older, they will still be fresh and flourishing. There's a reward in stickability. I don't know if there's a word like that, but there's a reward in stickability. Go look at members' lives that has been in the church 10, 15, 20 years. Let me tell you a little thing about myself and about this church and why this church is so healthy. It's because God challenged me not to minister out a lot, but to be here and to feed God's children here. One house, one church. And that's always been my focus. The majority of the time, you'll see either me or my wife in the pulpit here. One church. Being planted releases a blessing. Amen? Oneness. Maybe I must talk about the strength of one. Being of one mind, being of one heart, where two or more agree to be one. I wonder how many people can go to one church for a whole year, support one vision for a whole year, have one pastor. Some people attend so many conferences in a year, you're so confused, you don't know what to believe. You don't see me at a lot of conferences. Can I tell you something, a secret? I've shared it in the church. But when I was reading the book of Ruth, Ruth was picking up hands full of seed that was dropped deliberately by Boaz. Boaz is a type of Jesus Christ. Naomi, a type of the Holy Spirit. And Ruth is a type of us, the church. She was picking up hands full. And when she got home, her mother-in-law, mother-in-grace, Naomi said, where were you today? She says, why? She says, what you've picked up is not normal. She says, I was in Boaz's field. You know what the mother-in-law said to her? Don't be seen in another man's field. Don't, because you've picked up a lot here, go try and pick up a... And the Lord spoke to me and says, where you pick up your hands full, that's the field you should be seen in. There's a principle in that. Find the one field where you are picking up seed that's feeding you. Because the Word of God can feed you anywhere. I can listen to anything and get something out of it. But where am I picking up my hands full? Find your place where you pick up your hands full and commit there. Can I say this? You can go look at my teachings, our teachings. In the past 20 years, I preach the same things. I've not been at a conference, then I hear this, and then suddenly we talk about this, and then we talk about the rapture, and then we talk about women with hats, and then we talk women cannot preach, and then we talk women can preach. I've been preaching the same stuff right through. Love God and love people. Loving God, loving people, that's what it's about. Put Jesus first. Give Jesus the rightful place in your heart. If you want to be successful in life, you need security. You need security. You need an identity. And you need those skills to be developed. You need to know that you've got people that's got your back and backing you. I've shared this before as well. I spoke to a Springbok coach once. And I said to him, what's the difference between an exceptional swimmer and a normal swimmer? And he said, the number one thing that I've seen is when the child has got the parent support, they excel. And we need God the Father's support. But in a congregation, you need to know that you've got your pastor's support as well. That your pastor is there for you. That after a service, you can walk to me and say, I need you to pray for me. And you can get hold of me. You don't have to break through 10 bodyguards. So can I say this? You know why the church is so important? You know why there's such an attack against the church? Because the church will help you to fulfill your purpose in life. It's Rick Warren that said, he created the church to meet your five deepest needs. Listen to this. Number one, a purpose in life. Number two, people to live with. Number three, principles to live by. Number four, a profession to live out. And number four, and power to live on. There's no place on this earth where you can find all five of those things together. That's why you need to come to church. The church is the reservoir of God's power. A living church is where Jesus Christ is the head. He is the anointed one. And when you come under his presence, under that anointing, it deals with things in your life without you even knowing it. I've had members say to me, I just come and sit here. I battle off depression. And I just sit here. And when I'm in the church service, the anointing lifts the depression. It breaks that yoke. That's what the anointing will do. You know what's so interesting? When they anointed somebody in the Old Testament as king, that anointing oil, the fragrance, the way that it was mixed, when they placed it on somebody, you could smell it for 2 weeks on them. Smell it for 2 weeks. So that's why you need to get into the fragrance of God every week. We should be who God says we should be. Amen. Whatever God is going to do, he's going to do in and through his church. That's how he does things. Amen. It's the way that he's going to do it. So, well, let me just say this. It started in the garden. You know, if you go to the book of Revelation, you know where it ends? It ends with the church. It ends with the church. It ends with a heavenly Jerusalem coming down. God preparing us for a heavenly Jerusalem on this earth. We're not being raptured and suddenly just little angels, spirits floating around. Can I have an amen? Amen. Sometimes the way that we look at the world is like we're disgusted with the world. But God loved the world. Can I say it again? God loved the world. Sometimes when I talk to Christians, the way they look at the world is like God hated the world that he sent Jesus and killed him. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Amen? We have to change our attitude towards the world. God loves this world. You know, there's certain places that's beautiful for God, that God loves, that God loves to be. Trust, and I know that Household of Christ is one of those places. The prayer garden is one of those places. God loves gardens. When last did you just go and put your feet in the soil and say, God, I thank God. I thank you, Lord, for this earth. I thank you for this world. Let me experience more of it. Am I talking to the right people here this morning? In our purpose, let's not get so busy running after money. Because if you just focus on money, a large piece of life will go past you and you'll miss it. God wants to take us from where we are to where he wants us to be. Can I say the strategy that God has given us in Household of Christ? Reach up, reach in, reach out. Touch the heart of God, let God touch your heart, and touch the heart of a community. In whatever God has called you to do, your purpose, if you want to fulfill it, you're going to need God's presence in your life. But the blessings that God is bringing into your life is to be a blessing. When you are saved to save others. If God blesses you, you are blessed to be a blessing. 2025 is grace upon grace. It's not how we start, it's how we finish. I'm going to close with this. Old Testament, New Testament, the message is the same. In the Old Testament, God said, be fruitful and multiply. When he spoke to Noah and his sons, he says, be fruitful and multiply in it. When it comes to the New Testament, Jesus, in Matthew 25, he says, and to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each one according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Turn to the person next to you, say, you've received a talent from God. Luke 19, verse 13, you can go look at it. It says, Jesus said there, do business till I come back. Here, he just gave it to them and he left. They knew what they had to do with it. The man with the 5, he took the 5, he became 2. That 2 became 4. Then he lost 1. Then he made another 2, and at the end, he had 5. The guy with the 2, he started doing business with it. He made 1, he made another 1. He made another 2, then he lost 3. Then he made another 1, and he had 4. But the last one, you know the story, he took it and he buried it. He placed it safely away, didn't do anything with it. Now you'd think, yes, that's good. I mean, from a natural point of view, you might even think that, gee, the guy placed it very safely and made sure that nobody would steal it because, you know, if you got that talent in Gauteng, you have to be very careful where you place it. Maybe one night he would stand guard and the other night his cousin would stand guard. I mean, you would think, really commend this guy's going the extra distance to protect this one gift. But you know what Jesus said to him? He said to him, you wicked servant. Why did you do that? You know you were not supposed to do that. I've told you, be fruitful and multiply. Why have you been disobedient? And you would think, what should be fair is that let's take the 5 that the other man has made and the extra 2 that the other person has made, and let's share it equally. Then everybody can have the same and we can all feel good. But Jesus says, no. What I've given you, I require an account of it. And what I've given you should at least double. Aina or amen. Says, I want you to double. Can I say this? That what God has given you, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Turn to the person next to you, say, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. Some of you have been bragging about your evangelism fire, how you want to go out and do evangelism. If you don't use it, you're going to lose it. It applies to other areas in your life as well. If you've got a fire burning on the inside to help and to serve, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it. in your marriage, that waves of love, that fire of love, if you don't use it and nurture it and keep it, you're going to lose it. I'm here to help you. I'm here to encourage you. It's not too late. It's time to act now. Faith acts now, believes now, receives now. What God has given you, He gives you the ability and the grace to increase and to multiply. Not in 1 year. Sometimes it takes a bit longer, amen? Sometimes you have disappointments. Go look at Job's life in James 5. It says, we know the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is merciful. So sometimes you go through a bad experience, but in the end, the Lord will double. What happened to Job? He went through a bad thing, but at the end of the day, he had double. Let me close with this. David, one of my favorite characters. He's assigned to a garden. His brothers look down on this garden. The garden's actually called the field. Out there where nobody can see him. But in that field where God has placed him, he's keeping and attending to the sheep. He is being faithful, making sure that those few sheep multiply and increase. He's being obedient to what he should do where nobody can see him. And while he's obedient, being who he should be, guess what happens? God is doing something far beyond his wildest dreams. He's gathering the prophet together, his brothers together, and he says, I'm going to anoint you today as king. I'm placing a fresh anointing upon you. And they call David to come in. That's where we're going to pick up. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. It says, David stood there among his brothers. Samuel took the flask of oil he had brought and anointed David with oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. The New King James says the Spirit remained with him. Because David knew how to keep and attend to the sheep, the basic principle. He knew how to keep and attend and make sure that he could keep the Holy Spirit. The Bible says the Holy Spirit remained with him from that day. Why is that important? Because that empowered him from that day. When he was anointed, his gift started opening doors for him, and he appeared before the king. That's what Proverbs 18 teaches us. A man's gift will bring him before kings. Proverbs 18:16. Amen? Started playing under the anointing and demons left. Used his gift to help somebody. I mean, the irony in this whole thing, he's anointed to be king, but he's playing for the king. Some of you, when you are there, when you are anointed for a position, he would say, sorry, you shouldn't be here. God told me I'm king now. Move. David, his whole life said, don't touch God's anointed. Suddenly you start hearing testimony of David after he's anointed, he's killing a bear. You hear a testimony of where he's killing a lion. And soon God brings him to the right place where he kills a giant. Because he knew the same anointing that killed the lion, killed the bear, killed the giant. But it started when he attended to the sheep. When the one place they placed him in the field that his brothers looked down upon became his Eden. And he was faithful there, and God could take him from where he is to where God wanted him to be. David understood to be at the right place at the right time. Amen? You know why? Deuteronomy 8 verse 18 says, it's God that gives us the power to be successful. David knew wherever I am, whether I'm looking after sheep, he used that opportunity to start to write songs to God, to glorify God. And as Adam walked with God in the garden, David used that place to walk with God, to see God's presence. And God says, I found somebody after my own heart, somebody that will walk with me, somebody that can value the place where I've placed him. And not say one day when I'm in the big church or one day when I'm there, then I'm going to worship you, God. But where he found himself, he started attending and keeping, and he was faithful. And because he was faithful to the small things, God could entrust him with the bigger things. When God looks at you, he sees you as successful. A matter of fact, he's placed power on the inside of you to be successful. It's called Jesus Christ, God's presence. That's why David, when he was disobedient, in Psalm 51, verse 6, he says, God, I know what you require of me. You require truth of me in the innermost part. Do not let your presence depart from me. I'm coming back to you, Lord. Cleanse me with the hyssop. If it's sacrifice that you needed, I would give it. But you don't require that, Lord. Can I say this? What God has given you and blessed you with, don't hide it. Don't hide it. Use it to the glory of God. Be the success that God has called you to be. Whatever God has given you, increase that and multiply it. Amen. Start to be who God has called you to be. The wonderful thing is, God gives us the Holy Spirit to empower us for Christian service. Acts 1 verse 8. Wait until you've received power, then go out. Under the old covenant was a different story. But even there, God declared a blessing upon them. God said, I'm working on the inside of you. But now we have the Spirit of God on us and on the inside of us to help us to be fruitful, to multiply, to use our gifts to glorify His name. See you.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.